A woman with very short hair puts on a blindfold. Next to some books on a table, she picks up a folded straight cane. She removes the strap and unfolds it. She moves the cane in front of her as she walks across a wooden floor. Carrie Lowell.
I am an ordinary woman to whom extraordinary things have happened.
More than meets the eye, the Joan Brock story. She feels her way to a stairway, starring Dylan Walsh. She makes her way down the stairs, turns on a landing, and goes down another flight.
We can't see the future. We don't know the cards will be dealt.
Rod Wilson, Jennifer Pisana, Karen LeBlanc.
The only power we have is to choose how we live our lives.
She touches a wall, then slowly and carefully continues down a hallway. She maneuvers down a multi-floor winding staircase. At the lowest floor, three boys have gone up one flight and are starting up the second one. They also have canes. One is wearing sunglasses and a knitted cap. They stop and listen.
Do you hear anything?
Nope.
Do you see anything?
Bite me, man.
Maybe she got lost.
The blindfolded woman comes down the stairs, walks across another landing, and continues down.
$5 says she don't make it.
Right, Jamal. Like you got $5.
Coulda then. I don't want you doing this. It ain't gonna prove nothing.
Yeah, I thought you liked Mrs. B.
Mrs. B is cool. I just think you got eyes. Use the suckers.
She just wants to know how we feel.
Second floor coming up.
Oh, man.
Hi. The boys duck down near the stair railing.
That's either mice or I'm getting close.
Mrs. B goes down the last flight of stairs. The boys are crouched at the bottom. As her hand moves down the railing, she touches the end of a straight cane. She runs her hand over it, then reaches down to find Jamal's knitted cap.
Why, Tiger Woods, is that you?
Bust. Way to go, Mrs. B.
I told you.
She smiles and removes her blindfold.
Take your quarter. I want to hear more talk.
Right in my pocket.
Outside, kids at the Iowa Braille School are playing beeper ball.
Batter up. Good work, Jimmy. Okay, Connie.
A dark-haired coach approaches home plate. Jimmy gives him a handheld control. Connie, a young girl, has a bat.
When you're ready, you hit that ball. Nice and strong, okay?
He steps back.
I can't do it, Mr. B.
I'm sure you can. Just listen carefully. Try it again.
She swings but misses.
I told you so.
Oh, really focus on where that sound is coming from, okay? Smooth and straight across. You can do this. Try it again. Nice and strong.
She rears back and hits the ball.
Yeah!
The crowd jumps to its feet.
Don't go, run, run, run!
She heads to first base. Mrs. B drives up in a van and watches the game. Connie makes it to first base. She smiles and jumps for joy. Mrs. B smiles from the van.
Yeah!
Yeah! Rick, go! Take over.
He gives him the control, then smiles as he jogs to the van. He leans on the window.
Hey, gorgeous.
Hey, honey, listen, I gotta pick up Joy and run some errands. Could you start dinner?
Joan, you know I hate cooking.
I just put in a chicken and some potatoes.
He looks around.
How about we order pizza instead?
How about we don't?
What about Chinese? A little mushu, a little sweet and sour.
Okay, but you pick it up.
I got a staff meeting after the game.
Joe!
Honey, you're going to be out anyways. What's the big deal?
You are such a baby!
I love you too. See you at home.
She shakes her head as she leaves. At an elementary school, a girl with long hair walks to the van holding a drawing.
All right.
Bye, Joy.
Bye.
Hi, Lovey.
Hi, Mom.
How was your geography test?
Good. Look what I made.
Look at that. I love this. Happy faces and a rainbow. We're definitely going to frame this one.
Joy smiles.
Really pretty.
They pull away from Joy's school. Later, she's helping blind children get off a school bus.
Feel the curb with your cane there.
Right here.
There you go. Good job. Now, there's steps coming up right ahead there. 3 steps up.
A dark-haired woman's helping the kids.
All right, Nick. Don't push. No, Tasha, take your time. There you go.
They go into the Walderson Exploratorium Museum. Later, a huge dinosaur skeleton looms above them.
Now, kids, we're coming up on a skeleton of a large brown sloth. It's about the size of an elephant, standing on its hind legs. If you reach out, there's a fossil here. You can feel how smooth they are. Isn't that amazing?
Hey, there's an expert on butterflies giving a talk in 10 minutes. Do you think the kids would be interested?
I don't know. Let me check it out. Kids, Miss Ryan King's going to be staying with you for a few minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay. It's cool, huh, Ruby? Feel the size of this.
A brown-haired man moves a tray as Joan enters.
Excuse me, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about this lecture you're giving.
They stare at each other.
Oh, my God. Jim?
Joni?
Yeah. I don't believe it. What are you doing here?
High school science geek makes good. I'm a lepidopterist. I tromp around the world teaching groups about butterflies.
Wow.
What are you doing here?
I teach blind students. We're here with a bunch of the kids. How long has this been? 15 years?
At least. You look great.
Thank you.
I don't remember your hair being so short in high school.
Oh, yeah, well, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind and her hair.
I'll remember that. Are you married?
Yeah, for years. To a great guy. We have a beautiful, brilliant daughter. Not that I'm prejudiced or anything.
Guess I missed my chance.
Guess you did.
At home on the phone.
You should look him up, Marcia. He's really cute, and he's available. He is not boring. He's just studious.
Who's studious, Mom?
Well, this guy you went to high school with. So he lives in Missouri. Remember that time you went to New York to meet that guy?
Joan, I've looked all over that garage. Where the heck are the Christmas lights?
Oh, by the way, gonna come up for Christmas? Because we'd love to see you.
Christmas lights?
Let me call you back, honey.
She hangs up.
They're probably just under a pile of clothes or something.
A pile of clothes? That old garage is such a mess. Can't you clean it up?
I was just gonna ask you the same question. Come on, Joy. Let's go help find the Christmas lights.
Coming, Mom.
Hey.
At the Braille School, a man gets a suitcase from the back of an SUV, then opens the door to the back seat.
I'm not going.
For God's sake, Ray, just give it a chance.
You can't make me live here. I want to go home.
As a woman gets out of the front seat, he grabs Corey by the arm and they head to the front door.
Please. Please.
Watch your step.
With a slight frown, Joan watches them go into the building. Inside, the kids are making their beds.
Smooth out all the wrinkles.
Okay.
Go. Rub your hands all over the bed to make sure. There it is. Hey, Zach, here. Feel the edge of the sheet. Tuck it under the mattress. Okay?
Mrs. Beringer?
Ms. Reinking.
Hi. This is Corey Mason, a new student who'll be moving into this room.
Hey, Corey.
She tries to shake his hand, but he forcefully pulls away. Joan stares at the boy, then raises her eyebrows at Mrs. Reinking.
Corey, Mrs. B's going to be your daytime house mother. She's going to be teaching you domestic skills, like making your bed and brushing your teeth.
I don't want a mother.
Joan inhales sharply. Christmas lights decorate the Beringer house. The family and a few guests are gathered at the table to eat.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy many blessings. Thanks for the happiness and laughter our friends Karen and Mike bring to our lives. Thank you for the gift of my son, Jay, with us once again for an Iowa Christmas. Joan and I welcome them all with open arms.
And me too.
Absolutely, Joy too. And by the way, thank you, Lord,
for not letting Marcia get lost on Interstate 80 like last year.
Well, that's because I learned to stop and ask for directions, unlike some people I won't mention.
Hey.
Yes. I drove a long way, and I deserve extra dessert for that. Well, we got extra sugar plums just for you, sweetie. Sugar plums.
Oh, man.
After dinner.
Thank you.
Oh, honey. Coffee, please.
Joan takes his cup and shakes her head.
What's wrong with his legs? Paralyzed, apparently. So, did you call Mr. Butterfly?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Really? And?
And his answering machine says he's out of town for a month.
Oh. Did you leave a message?
Nah. I already met somebody else.
I swear you've got the libido of a 20-year-old.
Well, 20 was only, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Joan makes a face.
I went to high school with you, kiddo. You can sell it to somebody else.
Well, I will. I got a date with a guy on Thursday night.
Unbelievable. Mommy, the carolers are here.
Carolers?
Oh, it's the kids from the school. It's their Christmas Day singing tour.
Oh, groupie.
Outside.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, kids!
Merry Christmas, Mr. B!
So you're gonna sing for us?
Yeah!
You got the candy canes, Mr. B?
Oh, I got the candy canes, but you guys have to sing first. And it better be loud!
Yes, sir, Mr. B, sir! Okay, ready, Holmes?
The kids start moving to the beat.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature stirring, not even a mouse. The stocks were hung by the team who care.
St. Nicholas, it will be there.
When out on the lawn, there rose such a clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window, I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and there was a sash. Oh, ho, oh, here we go, here we go. Ho, ho, ho.
Later, a garbage man takes the used Christmas tree away. Joy gets a sweater from a dresser drawer and puts it in a backpack.
Zip up your jeans, lovey. Where's your shoes?
I need my socks first.
Joan blows her nose as she goes to the sock drawer.
What color?
Pink.
No pink. How about white?
They were there yesterday.
I don't see them. You must have worn them.
Joy picks up very pink socks. Joan stares at them.
Those are white.
They're pink, Mommy.
Okay, well, whatever you say, just put them on, all right? Because we're late, gotta go.
Joy shakes her head. At the Braille school, everyone's eating lunch.
Remember, our plates are like a clock. Top of the plate is 12 o'clock. So burgers are at 3 o'clock, fries are at 9. I'm going to hand the ketchup to Robbie, and he's going to pass it along.
Robbie turns the squeeze bottle upside down.
Jeez, Robbie, keep it to yourself.
Shut up, Jamal. What's the ketchup bottle?
Never heard any ketchup sound like that.
Maybe there's not ketchup in there.
Then I guess you don't want any.
Hand it over, dog.
Corey's frowning next to Joan.
Come on, you guys. Eat your lunch, okay? Come on, Corey, the hamburgers are really good around here. How about some French fries? Don't tell me you don't like French fries.
He touches his plate.
That's it, at 9 o'clock. There you go.
He throws fries in her face, then pushes the tray off the table.
Oh my gosh, what happened?
Joan stands.
It's all right. It was an accident. I'll take care of it.
She glares at Corey, then leans close to his ear.
That is not acceptable, Corey. We're gonna do it again.
Go to hell.
As many times as it takes.
Jamal raises his eyebrows. Joan leans down to pick up the mess on the floor. She glances back at a light shining through a window. She squints at the brightness. She cringes as she closes her eyes. Later, as she sits in a dark office, she works on a brailler. Mrs. Reinking comes in.
Hey, Joan.
Hey there.
What you doing?
I'm just brailing the kids' homework assignment. Why is it so dark in here? I think I'm coming down with a cold. My eyes are bothering me.
Well, can I get some light? Because I need to find the grade reports.
Sure.
She opens a shade to let the sunlight in. Joan squints at the light and grimaces. Her friend sees Joan's cheeks have too much rouge on them.
What happened to your makeup?
Nothing. Why?
You look like a clown.
Really? I just put some blush on.
She gets a tissue and wipes off some of the blush.
Honey, look. I don't see anything.
You don't see that this is bright pink.
Joan frowns.
That looks white to me.
Really?
Joan nods.
Maybe you should see a doctor.
I think I'm just coming down with a cold, you know?
Okay, well, when's the last time you had your eyes checked?
Really? You're making too much of this. Eyes are our day job.
Okay.
Joan goes back to her work. Later, she's driving the van.
It was cold that spring. The next day, I saw an ophthalmologist who did a series of tests.
Nothing showed up, but the doctor didn't want to let go of it. I was referred to a specialist who couldn't see me for 2 weeks. During that time, my eyesight got worse.
She almost hits a car in front of her. Kids are crossing a crosswalk, but they're blurry to her. She tries to wipe off the inside of the windshield in front of her. Joy watches her mom with a frown. The car in front of her pulls away, but Joan keeps rubbing the windshield. She starts to pull around a circle drive, but runs up a curb.
Ah, honey!
Oh, no! Sorry, honey. The window's all fogged up.
She stares at her mom. Joan arrives at the Braille school. Clutching her purse, she puts out one hand in front of her as she walks toward the front door. Later, she's in a library. She runs her hand over some notebooks, then pulls out one with the words, Fiction, Series F6 through G. She wrinkles her forehead as she turns. She runs into a table, then moves around to a chair. She sits, then thumbs through the pages with large print. She struggles to see the words. Everything is a blur. She grabs a magnifier, then leans close to try to read the words. It doesn't help, and even the magnifier is blurry. Crying, she leans back in her seat. Leaving the magnifier on the page, she quickly gets up. She holds onto a handrail as she moves down a hallway. She goes out to the playground where Joe is working.
All right.
Joe? Joe?
Keep it going, guys.
She's waiting at a gate.
Joan, what is it?
Sweetheart, what's the matter?
I can't see.
He quickly opens the gate as she grabs his jacket.
See.
I can't see anything.
He holds her. His mouth is open. At Seven Oaks General Hospital.
Sign on my desk says Chief of Neural Ophthalmology, but rest easy, my wife still makes me take out the garbage. So, I understand you're having a little vision problem.
Minor distraction. I can't see.
Probably just a virus or something, right?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. Let's start with a look at the eye chart over here. Can you read the third line?
No.
How about the second one?
Dr. Corbett, I can't see the chart at all.
Joe stares at her with a frown.
I was admitted to the hospital that same day.
Alone in a room, Joan is slid into a CAT scan machine. Slides of her brain flash on a monitor. Joan's eyes dart around nervously and she struggles to hold back tears. Later, a doctor uses a magnifier to look closely into one of her eyes. She blinks and he looks into the other one. He lifts another magnifier from his face and squints at her. She cringes and grabs a pillow tightly as a spinal tap is performed. Later in a hospital room, a woman hangs a painting on the wall, then leaves. Joe has mums as he and an older woman enter.
Goodbye.
Bye. See you next week.
Well, she can't be too sick if she's laughing.
Mom, what are you doing here?
Joe had the good sense to call me, unlike you.
They hug.
Oh, what's so funny?
Oh, it just changed the pictures in my room. They don't like the patients to get bored with the artwork. Lady never even noticed I was blind.
A sign behind her reads, blind patient.
Did Dad come too?
He's home with Joy. How are you feeling?
Aside from going blind, I'm just fine.
You're not going blind. Stop scaring everyone. People don't go blind just like that.
You're right, Coach. I can play. Put me in.
Joan's mom and Joe exchange glances.
If joke about everything?
Teacher the blind losing her sight. It's worth at least a chuckle, don't you think?
Oh, you have visitors. I'll stop back later.
Dr. Corbett?
Yes, Joan.
Do you have any news?
They all stare at him expectantly.
Well, some, but it can wait.
No, please.
He hangs up the scan of Joan's brain, then looks in a folder at several images of the inside of her eyes.
Joan, you have what's called macular degeneration. It's a condition which usually affects people much older than you. It's a slow deterioration of the retina, which can sometimes take years to progress, but in your case, something has caused that degeneration to accelerate faster than we've ever seen before. In other words, something has attacked your eyes. It might be lupus, it might be a virus. There's a number of possibilities.
She works at a blind school. Could she have caught something from one of the children?
No. No, it's not that.
Then what is it?
For now, it's a mystery.
So how do we treat it? Drugs? Surgery?
Well, no. The damage is irreversible.
You mean it's permanent?
I'm afraid so.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Dear God.
You're saying that's it? There's nothing you can do?
We've never seen anything like this before. In fact, we'd like Joan to stay for a few days so that we could study your condition.
My wife is not a guinea pig, Doctor.
Well, of course not. But there's an awful lot we could learn.
No, you're supposed to help her, not the other way around. Now, if you're not up for the job, we'll find someone who is.
Joe, stop.
Sweetie, there must be another test.
I've had every test there is. I'm blind.
Her mother is crying.
I'm blind.
Joe looks at the doctor, who stares sadly at the floor. Cho sits next to his wife as a tear rolls down her cheek. Later at home, Joan is in her daughter's room. Both are lying on the bed.
Does it hurt?
No. Nothing hurts. I just can't see.
Will you have to use a white cane?
Sometimes.
Will you still go to work?
Well, I won't have the same job, but I plan to work there, yes.
After all, school for the blind, right?
Yeah.
Will you still cook dinner?
I intend to, but I might need your help so I don't put sugar on the chicken instead of salt.
Or pepper in the oatmeal instead of cinnamon.
Or ketchup on your pancakes instead of syrup.
Ew!
Later, Joan is folding dollar bills different ways as Joe pulls money out of his billfold.
It's a couple of 20s.
Fold these lengthwise, right?
Yeah.
Later, he helps her sort her clothing.
That's the end of your blues. That's your orange outfit.
She hangs it in her closet. In the kitchen, Joe sticks a marker on one of the oven dials.
Let me show you something over here.
He takes her by the arm and leads her to the oven.
This marker on the, that's the oven dial, that's off, and that bump is 400. Okay, line it up with the dot right above.
She touches the marker and the light above the knob.
You got it?
Yeah, I understand.
Later, Joan is getting ready to brush her teeth. She picks up the tube of toothpaste and puts some on her brush. As she sets the tube back down, it falls off the counter. She startles and frowns. She kneels down on the floor and feels around for the tube. She puts her knee right on the tube.
Ah.
She touches the toothpaste.
Oh, God.
You're gonna have to memorize where everything is.
I know.
We'll have to organize the fridge, too.
I know. It's not a problem.
Hey, Daddy.
Okay, sweetie. We're gonna head out to her game. You sure you'll be all right?
I'm gonna take a
shower and work here in the kitchen. Just go.
She frowns as Joy and Joe leave. Later, she's coming down the stairs.
Where's that purse?
She runs into a large side table.
Oh, ow!
She grabs her knee and slides down the wall to the floor. Soon after, she's scooting on the floor and reaches up to the refrigerator. She opens the freezer to get some ice. She dumps the container of ice. She frowns and takes a deep breath. Karen gets out of her car and sees Joan sitting on the front porch. She has her leg elevated with an ice pack on her knee.
Hey, kiddo.
Hi.
Welcome home.
Thanks.
I baked you some cookies.
Thanks. Put them on the table.
Where is everyone?
Volleyball.
She sits in a wicker chair near Joan.
How's it going?
I'm barely home and it feels like a year.
What happened to your knee?
What didn't happen? I'm so stupid. I'm such a clod.
Hey, come on, Joanie. You're so hard on yourself.
I don't know how they do it. How do they live without seeing?
They have no choice.
I mean, I'm never gonna see Joy's face again. I'm never gonna see her grow up. I'm not gonna see her wedding. I'm not gonna see my grandchildren. I'm blind, Karen. I'm blind.
I know.
Joe thinks I can handle this. I don't think I can do it.
Hey, of course you can.
It's so hard.
Hey.
She moves next to Joan.
Remember what you tell the kids. You can do anything you set your mind to. It just might take a little longer.
Yeah. That's just ignorance talking. There's a lot of things that you can't do.
She cries on Karen's shoulder. Corey lies on a bed as the other boys play a game on Robbie's bed.
And three.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Three.
Four.
Thank you very much.
Hey, kids. How's it going?
Mrs. B?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Mrs. B, you're back.
Hi, Mrs. B.
What's up? How you doing?
Hi, Jamal.
So cool.
Hey, Mrs. B.
Hi, Zach.
Can you see anything at all?
Not much. Just a little shadow and light. Sometimes a shape out of the corner of my eye.
What do you know, Mrs. B? You're in the club.
Yeah, Zach, I guess I am.
Are you going to work here?
Yes, I am. I'm going to go do the office for a little bit, but I'll be back.
Oh, great. Cool.
You guys want to play baseball with me later?
Sure.
Yeah.
That one's right now. 8 into 128.
At home.
Okay, 8 into 12 is...
As Joy and Joe work on homework, Joan is drying the dishes. She picks up a bowl and wipes it with a towel.
Mommy, are you okay?
That was my grandmother's bowl.
Joni, come on. You gotta be a little more careful.
It slipped.
I know it slipped. That's why you have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Joan nods.
Joey, give me the dustpan, please.
Let me help.
Absolutely not. All I need is for you to cut yourself on top of everything else.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I should do the dishes from now on.
No, you do too much already.
Well, maybe that's just the way it has to be. Joy, bring me some aspirin, too.
Joan clenches the dish rag. Later, she's walking down a hallway.
Time heals, they say. But time erodes as well. I think I changed in those long, dark weeks leading to winter. I know I did.
She goes into the library.
I know that's you.
Stop it. Okay, kids, this is study hall. Settle down and do your homework.
The kids are sitting at different tables. Corey takes off some headphones, then goes to Joan. She's folding her cane.
Can I ask you something?
Corey? Of course.
I gotta do this stupid report and, how tall is a giraffe?
A giraffe?
I mean, you've seen one, right? Before your eyes crapped out?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I was born blind, so. How tall? I gotta get up to 200 birds on a giraffe.
As we zoom in closer to her eye, a running giraffe is superimposed over it. As the giraffe moves in slow motion, the entire screen is filled with the giraffe running through a lush green forest. Its long neck bobs slowly back and forth as it passes trees. Joan smiles a little. More moving giraffes are joined with other animals as they move across a grassy area. The sun sets behind the giraffe.
Come here. I'll show you.
She takes Corey by the hand and they walk over to a tall cabinet. She lifts his hand high so it touches the top edge.
It's about 5 times taller than that.
That's a bull. No way.
Yes, way. And most of it is its neck.
What about a flamingo?
Joan smiles as she remembers flamingos. A flamingo flies over some water and lands among others of his kind. She lowers his hand to near his ear.
There.
How can that be? A flamingo's a bird.
Nature's full of miracles. A flamingo's got legs that are 3 feet long and they're skinny as a pencil.
You sure?
Yep.
She pats his shoulder and walks away.
It's a bitch, huh? Not being able to see?
Yeah. It stinks. I'm luckier than you in one way, I guess. I've got all these pictures in my mind I can recall anytime I want. You want to borrow any, you just let me know. Free of charge.
Yeah. All right.
He returns to his seat. Later, Joe gets out of the van as Karen stands with Joan outside the school.
Here's Joe.
Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome.
Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, staff meeting at 8, right?
Yep, I'll be there. Can we go to the drugstore on the way home?
We have to pick up Joy.
Well, maybe afterwards, then.
Not today. I don't feel so good.
It'll only take 5 minutes. Joy needs shampoo, and we're almost
Joanie,
out of toothpaste.
I said I don't feel so good. My head is really bothering me.
You've been having a lot of headaches lately.
Yeah. The sinus is killing me.
He uses a nose spray as he walks around the van to the driver's side. Soon after, he crawls into a bed covered with a yellow wedding ring quilt. In the kitchen, Joan takes 2 cookies from the cookie jar and puts them on a plate. She takes them to Joy, who's working on homework.
Here's your snack, honey. I'm going out.
Where?
To the drugstore.
Alone?
You're darn right alone.
Joy frowns and stands. She watches as her mom gets her purse and cane, puts on her sunglasses, and opens the door.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, sweetie. I'd never walked anywhere alone before, but I was determined to try. I'd become dependent on Joe and Joy for almost everything, and I didn't like the feeling.
Using her cane, Joan negotiates a step and turns onto a sidewalk. She runs her cane back and forth over the sidewalk. She comes to the street and stops. She finds the edge of the curb, then walks across the street. Back on the sidewalk, she finds a mailbox. She touches it and smiles to herself. She walks past a picket fence enclosing a yard with children's play equipment. On the sidewalk, a small tricycle is in her path. She trips on it and falls onto the picket fence. A woman working in her yard drops her rake and runs to help Joan. Joan sits up. Her wrist is bleeding.
Are you all right?
I think so. What was that thing?
A tricycle. Here, let me help you up.
Oh, my God, you're bleeding. Does it hurt? I dropped my purse, though.
The woman picks up Joan's purse.
Maybe I should call an ambulance.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
I think I should call somebody.
Why not?
This blind lady tripped over one of the Morris's kids' tricycles.
Is she okay?
She's caught, bleeding like a stuck pig.
I'm fine.
You live around here, lady?
Yeah, on Virginia.
Come on, we'll drive you home.
Joan's skirt is torn away in the back.
Oh, honey, hold your skirt together. You're showing the South 40.
What?
Joan holds her skirt closed as they help her to the car. Other neighbors are staring. Outside the Braille school.
I'm into this band called Slumgullion Big Time. They play a club in Los Angeles. I'm gonna go down there someday, hear them live. That'd be awesome.
I think I'm a Dixie Chicks kind of girl.
Are they hot?
Yes, very.
Slumgullion, they dress in blue a lot. I keep trying to figure out what blue is.
What do you think it is?
It's me. I know black, period.
She gives him a can of soda.
Color's hard to understand. But try to use your other senses. What do you think blue feels like to the touch?
Over a close-up of Corey's face, the screen becomes tinted with blue.
Cool, bro. Slumgullion's cool.
I like that. That's right, blue is cool.
Maybe minty smelling?
That's right again.
And red is hot, burning. But I can't figure out green.
Green.
She leans back from the picnic table and picks up some blades of grass.
I smell this.
She holds the blades of grass under his nose and the screen turns green. Corey raises his eyebrows. She pulls the grass away.
Grass.
Grass is green. Leaves are green. Fruit before it's ripe is green.
Nature? Nature's green? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
High five.
She raises her hand for a high five, but he doesn't.
Just kidding. Mrs. B, I want to get out of here. Don't take that wrong. Maybe not tomorrow, but I want to go to school in the real world. Learn music. Move to LA someday. What do you think about that?
I think, why not?
They both smile. Later in a meeting.
Before we close, I just want to mention what a great job Joan is doing as our student teacher liaison. She has worked wonders with Corey Mason, and the other kids see her as a true role model. Even our fundraising has picked up. So Joan, what can I tell you? Thanks for going blind.
No problem, Marty. Just let me know if you need me to go deaf. Just don't ask for mute.
Is everything okay with Joe?
Joe?
Well, he missed the meeting today, and he's been out a lot the last couple of months.
It's these sinus headaches. He's on all these painkillers, but nothing's working.
What does the doctor say?
Nothing. He won't go.
Joe sleeps in a chair with the yellow quilt pulled up to his neck.
Dad, dinner's ready.
He moves slightly.
Dad, it's time to eat.
In a few minutes.
Mom? What's the matter, honey?
Daddy won't get up.
Joe! Dinner's ready. Joe?
Eat without me. I'm not hungry.
We eat without you. Sunday dinner is our family meal. Now, come on.
He pushes the quilt away and stands. He's haggard and his face is gaunt. Weaving as he stands still, he stares weakly at the table, grimaces and touches his finger to his forehead.
Mom, he's leaving.
Honey, could you pour the iced tea for us, please? Joe?
She follows him into the bedroom where he slowly lies down.
Joe? Are you on drugs, Joe?
Oh, leave me alone.
Are you seeing another woman?
No, stop it.
Then maybe you just want out. Do you want to end this marriage, Joe?
Joan, I am not in the mood for this.
Do you have any idea how badly you treat me? The way you constantly snap at me, your tone of voice? Am I too much of a burden? Because, excuse me, I didn't mean to lose my eyesight.
Joan, it's not you. Okay, it's these damn headaches. I'm in constant pain. They just never go away anymore. I don't have patience for anything.
Just headaches? Nothing else is going on?
For God's sake, honey. I can't even think straight.
Call the doctor.
It's a Sunday.
Leave a message.
Doctors don't know anything, honey. Look what happened to you.
I don't want to hear it, Joe. You call him right now. Right now.
She holds out the cordless phone. He slowly takes the phone, and she rubs his back for a moment. The sun is shining. Joan is sitting on the front porch as Joe slowly walks up.
Joe?
Yeah.
Where have you been, honey? You've been gone for hours.
He sits next to her.
There's a tumor growing in my sinus cavity. A big one. I need surgery right away.
Joan frowns, and they hold each other's hands. Later, Joy opens the back of the van and takes out the yellow quilt in a duffel bag. A folded wheelchair is also in the van.
Joe's surgery lasted 16 hours. The cancer had spread into his right eye, which had to be removed. When Joe came home 2 weeks later, he was amazingly brave. He joked that one good eye was more than enough for the two of us. There was talk of chemotherapy and radiation, but there were no guarantees. We both tried not to think of tomorrow and simply appreciate today.
Come and lie next to me.
His head and eye are heavily bandaged.
I just want to hold you. That's all. Yeah. Listen. I think I'd like to buy Joy that new bike she's been talking about.
She'd like that.
Maybe we could take her out of school one day and I'll go to the lake.
You think you're up for that?
We'll see. Joy, there's something I need to say to you. I may not have been the greatest husband in the world, not by a long shot, but you, you've always been the greatest wife. You've always been there for me. I'm really, really grateful for all the years we've had together.
She smiles through her tears.
I love you, Joan. I love you so very much.
They kiss several times. It's dusk as Christmas lights sparkle on the neighborhood houses.
By the following Christmas, Joe almost never got out of bed. He never complained. But all my senses told me what I couldn't see. Joe, honey? That was Karen. The carolers want to come over and sing for you. I told her you were too sick to go outside, but that you'd listen from in here.
He moves slightly on the couch.
Silent night, holy.
Joy and Joan stand arm in arm on the porch. Wrapped in the yellow quilt, Joe leans on the doorframe. Joy and Joan go to him. A framed photo of Joe as a coach sits solemnly on a table. Marcia, Joy, Karen, Joan, her parents, and others walk into the house. A dark limo is parked out front.
I'm gonna make some coffee.
Does anyone need a drink?
Why don't you sit down?
Joan's mother helps her inside.
There you go. Joy, come and have something to eat.
They leave Joan standing alone. With a frown, she sets down her purse and sits in a chair. Still wearing her coat, she touches the yellow quilt folded next to her. She starts to cry. She clenches the quilt in her hands and brings it to her face. She closes her eyes. A man throws a frisbee and a young boy runs after it. Joan and her father are sitting on a bench. It's wintertime in a park.
Must be later than I thought. The first star's out.
I miss the stars, Daddy.
I know. Sometimes I think we're all like stars to God. He sees what shines in each of us. What makes each person unique. How we share our life with one another. I think that's what love is to God, sharing light. Joni, your mother and I, we want you and Joy to come home, back to Sioux Falls. You could get a place near us.
I mean selling our house. Joy would have to change schools.
You can't live on your own. Joe did everything for you.
Not everything.
Look, who's going to shop for you? Drive Joy to school? I mean, how will you get around? Do anything? You need help. And we want to give it to you.
I don't know what I need.
Honey, please. Come home.
Later with Corey.
What about us? What about the school?
I think I'd make a very good teacher right now.
Give me a break. That's so bogus.
I'm really tired and sad, Corey.
What about my application to middle school?
You know, maybe you should rethink going to a regular school. It's a huge adjustment, much harder than you think.
You said I was ready.
Well, if you wait till you're a little older, maybe.
I don't want to wait. I want to get out of this place.
Corey, there's times in your life when you have to do the smart thing. Everything here is geared to being blind.
Think I'm just stupid.
Not at all. That's not what I'm saying.
Forget it.
Corey, please.
Have a great time in South Dakota.
Corey, please. I just want what's best for
you.
No,
you don't. You want what's best for you. Just like my parents. You and the prairie deserve each other.
Corey!
He goes into the school, leaving her alone. Elsewhere, a woman gets the mail out of an aluminum apartment-style mailbox. A blue car pulls up with Joy, Joan, and her parents. Marcia's waiting in front of a house with a for sale sign.
There you are. Hi.
Here you go, Joni.
I'm Marcia.
She hugs Joy.
Look what I got on the plane, Marcia. Pilot's wings.
That's great, huh? Get Mr. Pilot's phone number for Aunt Marcia?
No.
Oh. Down, girl. Get your mind on real estate.
They hug.
Hey.
They go into an empty house.
Here we are. So this is the living room. It's 18 by 12. And Joni, through here is the kitchen.
Joy goes upstairs.
nice. It's got a window above the sink, all new appliances. And over here, it's got extra
counters. Joy walks into a small, dingy room with brown walls. She looks into a small closet. She pulls back the curtains and sees grimy windows. She has a view of the street below.
Joy?
In here, Mom.
And this will be Joy's room. Wall-to-wall carpet.
Does it have a backyard?
Well, there's a patio with a fence around it.
Joan walks over to Joy.
You know, honey, if you don't like this one, there's another one across town. It's bigger, maybe more kids around.
We can drive over if you want.
Joy.
She turns her daughter around to face her.
We'd be close to Grandma and Grandpa here if one of us got sick. And Daddy's insurance money will just pay for this. You be my eyes. What do you think?
Blinking hard, Joy sadly looks around the dreary room.
I like it, Mom. It's great.
She hugs her daughter and kisses the top of her head. Later at night, Joan takes a bell out of a box. Marsh is using a screwdriver on something over the front door.
Here's the bell. One second. I'm not good with screwdrivers that don't involve vodka.
Oh, I guess I could hear that upstairs. It'll do until I get an alarm system put in.
Well, if this doesn't work, we'll find a caveman to protect you.
There's not going to be a man. This is my life now. I'm lucky to have it.
Marcia watches Joan walk away. Marcia touches the bell. It's raining on Joy's first day of school.
Here we are. Honey, have you got your umbrella?
Right here.
Soon after, Joy holds Joan's hand as they walk together.
It sounds like a nice school. What does it look like?
It's red brick with glass doors. The teachers remind me of Iowa.
Well, that's a good sign, honey.
Joy watches as the kids stare at Joan and her white cane.
I think you're really, really going to like it here. You're such a good student and you make friends so easily.
One boy whispers to another. A girl nudges another as they stare.
Mom, I can go in by myself. It's fun.
Really?
Yeah. Look. Here's Grandma. I'll see you at 3, okay?
Honey, I love you. And don't forget to collect the mail on your way home.
Okay.
Joy purses her lips and breathes out. Joy's drawing is in a frame. Joan picks it up and gives it to Joy to hang on the wall.
Did you get your English paper back?
Not yet.
Here, honey, be careful on the ladder. Grandma washed your blue tights. Were you cold outside today?
Kind of, but I had my coat, so it was okay.
Hello.
Hey, Joanie.
Karen, hi. How are you? I'm sorry I haven't called you. I know I promised. How are the kids doing?
Good. They all ask about you.
How's Corey doing?
Well, he's hanging in there. You know, Joni, it's a day-to-day thing.
Karen, I have to call you back.
Okay.
She quietly hangs up the phone. She lowers her eyebrows as she slowly makes her way to the door. The shadows of tree limbs and leaves move near the door.
Who's there?
The green goddess!
Joan scowls as she opens the front door.
Oh, Vicus was on sale at the market. I couldn't resist. That's great, Marcia, but, you know, you really should call me before you come over because I really had almost had a heart attack.
Ow!
Joy? What happened?
I cut my finger with the hammer.
Oh. Okay, watch the glass. It's okay, Joan. Just a little blood. She can still move it. Just run some cold water.
Stay out of this, Marcia. I can handle it.
They stare at her.
You can't see, Mom.
I'm your mother, Joy.
Thanks anyway, Marcia.
Fine. The next bell you hear will be the sound of me leaving.
Marcia glares at Joan, then leaves.
A Band-Aid?
It's fine.
Do you need any help?
No.
Dressed in a robe and slippers, Joan goes into the bathroom. She leaves the door ajar as she takes off her robe and tosses it over the toilet. She turns on the faucet, then puts her fingers under the running water. She brushes her short hair back from her face as she sinks into the bathwater. Bubbles cling to her body as she remembers back to when Joy was younger. Joe creeps upstairs with a camera as a young Joy takes a bath with her mother.
There you go. There you go.
There's my two girls. My two babies just as God made them.
Hi.
Smile, Joy.
Smile for Daddy.
Mommy's turn.
No! I didn't ask.
Honey, one day you'll look back at this and say, insanity ran in the family.
No, it's not fair.
Mommy's right, Joy. No fair. Daddy needs a bath, too.
Joe climbs in with his pajamas still on.
Oh, my gosh. Daddy's crazy.
They all squirt each other with water toys.
Daddy's gonna get water. All over. Where'd that turtle go?
Daddy's crazy, Daddy.
I'll get you this time. There you go. Come on, there you go.
Joe and Joan look at each other. He touches his fingers to his lips and blows her a kiss. Back in the present, Joan frowns as she sits in the tub. Later in a nightgown, she comes down the stairs.
Joy?
She's looking out over the night sky.
I'm here, Mom.
You weren't in your bed. I was worried.
Joy is crying.
Are you all right? Does your finger hurt? What is it then?
Just kids at school.
You don't like them?
No, they feel sorry for me because my dad died and my mother's blind. I hate that.
They're just trying to be sympathetic.
I don't want them to say that. I just want to go to school, be a normal kid, like in Iowa.
You miss Iowa? Me too.
I miss our front porch. I miss the blue walls Daddy painted me. I miss Daddy.
Are the stars out?
Yeah.
Can you see them?
Yeah.
You know, the same stars hang over Iowa. We're not so far away.
Is Daddy watching us from those stars?
I'm sure he is. And what he wants more than anything, Joy, is for you to bloom where you're planted. In this new place. To grow strong.
You know what I think, Mom?
What, honey?
I think he wants both of us to grow.
What else I can do?
With a tear clinging to her cheek, Joy looks at the floor for a moment.
You can get the mail, Mom.
Using her cane, Joan makes her way across the street to the set of mailboxes. Using a key, she opens the mailbox door. As she gets the mail, she smiles to herself. Later, a man showing her a machine that magnifies many times. He has a newspaper.
So the way it works is, you place your document on this surface here. Can you see that?
I can't.
Okay, yeah. Try this.
He moves the paper to a word in the headline. To Joan, the screen is very dark and blurry.
Triplets?
Yeah.
Triplets? Mom, triplets!
Honey, you can see that?
I can read!
Oh, my God. That's wonderful, Joanie.
Marcia tentatively comes into Joan's home. She looks above the doorway to find the bell has been taken down. She touches the holes left in the door molding.
Joan?
I'm upstairs, Marcia.
Honey, did you know the front door was unlocked?
I left it open for Boris.
Boris?
Mr. Kresge, he delivers for the hardware store.
She's painting Joy's room blue.
What in the world?
What do you think? Go easy, I'm a blind lady.
That's great, if you like the modeled effect.
Listen, I'm sorry about the other night.
Oh, honey, it's me.
Later.
You remember Scott Clare from high school? You know, the quarterback, never gave us a time of day?
Yeah.
His wife asked me to help plan his birthday party next month, and I'm inviting you.
I don't know, hon. I make people from the old days nervous. I need something to wear to the gym. What's in now?
She puts a newspaper ad on the magnifying machine. Marcia moves the ad to a woman in an exercise bra and biking shorts.
This.
Joan struggles to make out the image.
Really?
Yeah.
Later in a gym, Joan is running on a treadmill. She holds onto a handlebar as she slows the machine down. Her towel and cane are on the floor next to the treadmill.
Here you go.
She stumbles off the machine and falls onto a man with her hands on his chest.
Take mine.
He gives her a towel, then gets her cane for her.
I don't bite, honest.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He smiles and watches her leave. Later, a doctor listens to her heart.
There's nothing wrong with your heart. Your general health is fine, Joan. But of course, your eyes. There's no change there. I've never heard of another case like it.
Well, let me know if you do. Those two medical mysteries can grab a latte together. Trade war stories.
You know, this is a teaching hospital. How do you feel about answering a few questions from my medical students?
She takes a deep breath.
Sure.
Later, she's fidgeting as she stands in front of medical students.
Hi, I'm Joan, and I'm blind. I didn't plan on being blind, but it has its advantages. I don't have to watch infomercials.
Were you born blind? Not that it matters.
Oh, but it does. Believe it or not, I was teaching blind kids when I lost my sight, and what I learned from that experience was that for children who are born impaired, imagination plays a much larger role than memory.
Shortly after...
I think of a better way for these folks to spend an hour, Joan. How did you come up with so much detail?
I started keeping a journal a while back, because I thought it was cheaper than a shrink.
Want my advice? Share it.
Later...
I was at the grocery store the other day, and I asked the girl at the cash register to help me with my change. When she found out I was blind, she said, "Oh, wow, do you know sign language?" And I said, "No, that's Helen. I'm Joan." For a while, I kept asking, "Why me?" I mean, don't we all do that when we injure ourselves or lose a loved one or take any of life's horrible falls? But then I realized, we're all human beings on the same playing field. None of us is above providence. So the answer is, why not me? Done. Move on. The real question is, what are you going to do now?
At a school.
So what do you do when you get, like, frustrated?
Find a release. I pull a pillow over my head and scream. Ah! I did that just a couple of nights ago, and I just know the next-door neighbors were going, "Oh, God, Walter, she can't find the scotch tape again."
What do you miss the most?
With Marcia at a bar.
So what did you tell her?
A partner. To love. A two-parent family for joy.
Then do something about it, hon. Go to a ball game. Join the Kiwanis. I don't know, maybe we can do one of those internet dating clubs.
Oh, please.
You know, nothing kinky. Although,
for that, of course.
Excuse me, ma'am. Would you like to dance?
Go ahead, Marcia, I'm fine.
Oh, he's not talking to me, huh?
Oh, I'm just here to listen to the music.
Joan Berenger, you used to be the best two-stepper in high school.
Marsha, no.
No, no.
No.
I can't. Take the little lady for a spin, cowboy. And be careful. Don't let her show you up.
Yes, ma'am.
He leads Joan to the dance floor as a band plays on a stage.
Don't let go of my hand.
Don't worry, I won't.
They crash into each other at first, then Joan gets the hang of it. Marsha watches as a tense Joan continues dancing with a cowboy. He spins her. Marsha walks down a few steps, and Joan smiles a little. He spins her two more times, then he spins under her arm.
No, I can't fight the moonlight tonight. No, I can't fight the moonlight tonight.
He tilts her back a little and she smiles.
Thank you, ma'am.
As Marsha talks to a man, the cowboy tips his hat. He leaves her stranded in the middle of the dance floor. She smiles, but her smile fades as she realizes no one is nearby. Marsha's leaning on the bar.
Too bad you're stuck behind that bar.
Yeah.
As she sips her beer, Marsha sees Joan searching through the coats.
Oh.
She frowns, sets her beer down, and runs to her friend.
Where are you going, hon?
Home.
Well, the guy just wanted to dance with the pretty lady.
Oh, yeah, and he looked like John Travolta, right?
No resemblance.
Couldn't wait to dump the blind lady.
I don't even think he knew you were blind.
Don't do this to me, Marsha.
Don't do this to yourself, Joan. All right, so you're not a bar person. My mistake. But you listen to me, Joan Berenger. You are coming to Scott Clare's party with me on Saturday night if I have to force you at gunpoint.
No, I won't.
Joan. Will the gun be loaded? Possibly.
Joan squints and shakes her head. Marsha laughs as they leave the bar.
There. All right.
Oh, I remember.
People are looking at a yearbook.
Hey, Scott.
Hi.
Hey, we're here.
Hey, hey.
Hi, happy birthday.
Joan.
Hi, Scott. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
You should see him, Joni. 60 never looks so good.
Please, I don't play golf like I'm 60. Everyone, look. It's the most beautiful girl in class.
Oh, thank you.
Joan Berenger.
Several people greet Joan.
It's me, Cindy.
Cindy, hi.
A rubber duck is floating in one of the punch bowls.
Is that the regular or the high octane, Joan?
High octane?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that Joan Berenger?
Jim Brock?
You look terrific, Joan. It's great to see you again.
It's great to see you again, too.
He stares at her.
Scott, where are your kids? I want my hug.
Better hurry. Diane and I just put him to bed.
Excuse us. Diane is...
Scott's wife.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I always hang out with Scott and Diane when I come to town. As far as their kids are concerned, I'm Uncle Jim. I was hoping you'd be here.
Here I am.
Later, Jim and Joan are talking.
For however hard it's been, Joni, and I know it's been terrible, I can only tell you, I can't believe you're blind.
It's that bad, huh?
No, I mean, earlier, you came back from the powder room like no problem.
Well, I remembered to follow the line of the dining room table, and I have a smidge of peripheral vision, so I figured the two black blobs were your shoes.
I should be so smart hunting butterflies.
I have this picture of Jim Brock with knobby knees waving around this little green net on the end of a long stick.
Nailed me.
Yeah.
No. I don't have knobby knees, and
I look for butterflies in places like Brazil and the West Indies and Missouri, of course.
All the exotic places.
My God, I'm talking butterflies. I don't want to scare you off.
Do I look scared?
No. You look beautiful.
I bet you say that to all the visually impaired girls.
Yeah.
Oh, there's.
Put this on here.
Oh, I think.
I can't wait to hear about your love life.
Well, you're going to have to wait. Didn't you say you had to relieve the babysitter at 11?
Oh, yeah. Is it that late already?
Yeah.
Well, I hope Marcia's ready to drive me home. She hates to leave the party.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
It looks like she already has your stuff.
I will do.
Great. Okay.
Back at home.
Thank you, Linda.
Anytime. Joy's great.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, hon.
The babysitter leaves.
Why didn't you ask God about Jim Brock?
I did.
And?
Quote, Jimbo married only to his work. And he's got more girlfriends than George Clooney.
Well, excellent. Then it's time to roll up your sleeves.
Oh, are you crazy?
Look who I'm asking.
Well, why not? He's cute. He's single.
He has a harem of normal women.
He's here visiting his parents all week. Why don't you call him?
I will not. And say what? Remember me? I'm the blind girl with the cheese whiz on her teeth?
I don't know. Tell him you want his advice, that you're thinking of publishing a book.
I'm not going to. That's blatant manipulation.
Honey, it's a jungle out there.
Marcia, he was just being sweet to a blind lady, that's all. I gotta go to bed. I got a speech tomorrow, which will be fine. Because I'm great with men in groups.
Marcia frowns.
Good night.
Good night.
Later, Joan's speaking before a large gathering, including her parents.
My father is a minister, and as ministers often do, he sat me down a few months ago and reminded me that for every fearful night, there is a twilight of hope. And I said, yeah, right, Dad. That may work on the Sunday morning crowd. But for me, there is no twilight. I live and walk in a world of permanent darkness. And he thought about that for a second. And then he said, well, maybe those who walk in darkness have to turn on their own lights.
Tears are in Joan's parents' eyes.
A wise man, my father.
Soon after, a man and woman approach her.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
We loved your talk.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm no expert, but there's a huge convention once a year put on by the Million Dollar Round Table. They select all the best speakers, people who can motivate and inspire. I'd like to nominate you.
Oh, that's out of my league.
Well, maybe, but my name is Marty Klein, and I'm going to do it. I'll let you know. God bless you.
The couple leave.
No fair. I can't match that offer. It's Jim Brock.
I know.
I'm leaving town day after tomorrow, and I just wanted to see you one more time. You were great.
Thank you. That's funny, because I was going to call you. I had some questions about publishing, and I...
Well, that's a long discussion. Might even require a bite to eat.
She nods, hopefully.
You like bears?
Bears?
A grizzly bear eats at a zoo.
I see them, Mom!
Those are brown bears, Joy. Grizzlies. You can tell by the curl of their claws.
You
want to
sit? 9 o'clock.
Joan takes a bottle of water from Joy. Jim smiles as he watches her.
Same to you, fella.
What's he saying?
I think that's Yukon for lunch.
Lunch!
She runs ahead of them.
She's having a ball. Thank you so much. Even if we don't talk publishing.
Oh, you thought this was our dinner meeting. No, that's tonight. Heard about blind dates all my life. I want one.
That night at a restaurant.
Who knows what moves men? For Scott, it's a an eagle on 14 at the Sioux Falls Country Club. For me, dawn in Brazil. A 2-inch azure butterfly settling on the petal of an orchid in the rainforest. Not that I wouldn't love the eagle 14. But the rainforest, the first light, that's as close as I've come to God. It's a tie tonight.
He takes her hand and she smiles.
I wish I could see you. I barely remember that day at the museum. In my mind, you're still 18 years old.
Great. Keep that picture. Except I'm not. I'm a 36-year-old man who'd almost given up. And right now, I think I'm holding everything I ever hoped for.
Jim takes his cell phone from his breast pocket.
Jim. Hi, Kathy.
Her smile fades.
Yes. Good. Pick me up at baggage claim. Listen, I'll call you back. I missed you too. Bye. A friend. Sorry. I would have turned my phone off, but my dog's with the vet, and I just wanted to be sure.
She nods.
Listen, we still haven't talked about publishing. You've written 2 books. I mean, wow. How did you submit all those...
Joan, the woman on the phone, it's just platonic.
It's none of my business.
Don't do this.
What?
He shakes his head, then looks down.
I have to leave early in the morning.
She nods and turns her head away slightly. He takes an airline ticket out of another breast pocket and puts it in her hand.
This is an airline ticket for you. I'd like you to come to St. Louis. Let me show you my world.
Jim, this is crazy. My life is here, and this is too fast.
Every hour of our lives is a gift. You said so in your speech. You're the last person I should say this to, but who knows what will happen tomorrow? I hope you'll come.
A sign reads 758 Brock. A house is nestled among tall trees. A dog runs up to Jim.
Hey, boy. Renegade. Come here. Hey, how you doing? I want you to meet Renegade. Renegade, this is Joan.
Renegade. I've been waiting months to meet you.
Good boy.
Thank God you came. My last long-distance bill was more than the mortgage. And what's your step coming through here?
They go into the house.
Guest room's in the back.
I smell pine and lemon. It's fresh.
Your living room, what does it look like?
Remember Buckingham Palace? Nothing like that.
They go outside.
We're on this deck that overlooks the river. There's stairs right here. 3 stairs going down. There you go. And action.
He has a video camera.
Okay, zooming out. You're right at the stairs. 3 stairs down. Now we're walking toward my workshop. You okay?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh, making a video for Joy. And you can show her St. Louis. After all, I'm courting 2 girls.
Joan smiles broadly.
This is my laboratory. I can track migration locally, play with different species. Oh, hang on.
He reaches into a large glass container.
What's happening?
He carefully picks up a small twig with a chrysalis attached to it.
I've been waiting a year for this.
He smiles at her.
Close your eyes.
Very funny.
Hold out your hand.
He puts the twig and chrysalis in the palm of her hand. The chrysalis breaks open, and a butterfly begins making its way out.
What is it?
second lady coming out of its chrysalis.
Still on Joan's palm, the butterfly struggles to emerge. It makes it, and Joan smiles. He watches Joan with a knowing smile. Soon after, Joan and Jim are standing on the deck at the back of the house. He gives Joan a small white round plastic container.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
With the tiny butterfly inside, Joan takes off the lid.
What's it doing?
It's just getting warm in the sun.
Let's go. Come on.
The butterfly is on his finger. It flies into the sky.
We have liftoff.
Is it okay?
Riding the wind, not a fear. Shell gone forever.
I can hear it.
Jim takes both of Joan's hands.
Come here.
He puts his arms around her waist and they kiss. They kiss again. She puts her arms around his neck. They face each other.
I got really excited waiting for your plane. I thought, is this just old high school hormones racing? Tapes in our head? And then I thought, yeah, but I think it's a lot more than that.
She nods. He pulls a ring out of his pocket.
My mom held on to this for a long time.
He puts it in her hand.
Until I asked her to mail it to me last week. This was my aunt's. Joan? Will you marry me? Too corny?
No, not too corny.
Her smile fades. Soon after, in the house.
I'm afraid, Jim. Not of you. Only a wonderful man would wait a year for a butterfly to hatch. It's just in the real world, in the world that we would live in, I can't shop in supermarkets. I can't see the products. I can't drive a car.
I understand that.
You can't possibly. I'm a dependent person. I take a toll on everyone in my life. I mean, what happens in a year from now? Or 5 years from now?
In 5 years, we'll have lived the best 5 years of our lives. I'm in this forever, Joan. If you wait for guarantees, I think you miss the whole shebang.
She answers her cell phone.
Hello?
Joan, it's Karen. I'm at the hospital in Cedar Rapids. Corey's been hurt.
What?
He tried to run away from the school. He got hit in a crosswalk downtown.
Is he okay?
We're not sure. They're doing tests.
I'm coming. I'm coming there. I have to go.
He gives her cane.
I'll call you from Iowa.
Later, Karen and Joan are at the hospital. She leads Joan to Corey's parents.
Mr. and Mrs. Mason, you remember Joan Berenger?
How is he?
Better. It was a bad scare.
He should be okay.
At least until he runs away again.
May I see him?
Corey's dad nods.
Thank you.
Corey sits in a chair. His arm is in a sling and his face is bruised. His head is down.
Hey, Corey. Mrs. B's here.
He lifts his head.
He's sitting.
Joan kneels next to Corey's chair. In the doorway, Karen and Corey's parents listen.
I'm glad you can't see me.
It's a nice thought. Thanks.
Can't hate what you can't see.
Why would I hate you?
I let you down, honey. You once asked me if you were ready to mainstream. It was the right question, and I gave you the wrong answer. You were ready. And I was the one who was afraid. But what I know now is that blind people can dive right into the sighted world. They can live there and work there. They can even love there. They just need the guts to make that choice.
Yeah, well, tell that to my parents.
His mom and dad look at each other.
Oh, honey, I will.
She takes his hand.
I will.
We're in this together, right?
Right.
Soon after, Joan and Karen go outside.
1 second, hon, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Karen steps away as Joan dials a number on her cell phone.
Jim Brock?
Yes.
Really? I can order the flowers? You sure?
Yes.
That's great.
In my life, there'd been many a blind curve. After all the long, hard miles, what's the last thing you'd think could happen to Mrs. B?
I got lucky. A gift to be cherished.
I will.
A second chance at love.
Joan, will you have this man as your wedded husband to live together in the holy state of matrimony?
During the vows between Jim and me, Marcia could not stop crying. My father finally had to say, Marcia, you're at a wedding. Not a funeral.
She's speaking at the $1 million round table.
I have walked in a valley of shadow for a long time now. But I've also climbed magnificent sunlit mountains. People often say that the eyes are the windows to the soul. But if you ask me, I think true vision comes from the heart. Courage, friendship, faith, love. They can't be seen, but they are everything. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
She gets a standing ovation. She bows several times, then a woman brings her a bouquet of roses. Joan Brock now lives in Arizona with her daughter Joy and her husband Jim. Jim and Joy are applauding offstage. Since addressing Chicago's $1 million round table convention, Joan has become a leading inspirational speaker throughout the world. Narrative script written and narrated by Susan Crane for the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education. Executive producers Frank von Zernick and Robert M. Sertner.
I'm Joan Brock. New statistics show that more than 19 million Americans are blind or visually impaired.
But what Joan's story proves is that losing your sight doesn't mean sacrificing your quality of life.
Help is available for the visually impaired and their families.
For more information, contact the American Foundation for the Blind at 1-800-AFB-BLIND or afb.org or go to lifetimetv.com. It's our lifetime commitment to you.